imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man is, and such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, "Wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God just add his own blessing for these words that we're sharing this morning. I want to talk just a wee bit this morning about a Spirit-filled life. And that verse of verse 18 there, which says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I've got a glass of water down here, which I sometimes sip away on. I've already had a wee sip on it. It's half full. Now, if I want that to be filled up, what have I got to do?
Turn on the tap.
And when the tap is turned on, it fills up with more water. But something else happens. Because if you're going to fill it up with more water, the air or the other bits and pieces in the top half as it is now has to be pushed out. Just bear that in mind as we're going through this morning while I have another sip. I'm actually quite glad that these M&Ms weren't completely eaten up, because we're going to have lunch later, so we're looking forward to those lunch today. Well, there has to be a continual topping up, and we'll be filled with the Spirit. Some things must go, and that seems quite simple, I suppose, in theory it is. But here in this verse is a particular command, a very important command, given to the church at Ephesus. It isn't something that's been dreamed up by some fancy person and given to the non-Christian community, but this is a word for Christians. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't want for a moment to sound negative, but wouldn't God be saying exactly the same thing to us today? Wouldn't God, two millennium down the track, be saying to people today in the church, be filled with the Spirit? This was not just for the church in Ephesus. It has an eternal relevance. Be filled with the Spirit. There is that expectation there. And Jesus himself came to us, came to his people, you and I, and said that we should have life, and that we should have it in all its fullness or abundance, as Authorized Version says in John 10 and 10. And then just before Jesus left his disciples before his trial and crucifixion, he said, I'm going away. But he said, although I'm going away, I'm going to live with you another counselor to be with you, to be with us forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And I take it that Jesus wants us to have a very full spiritual life today. Not one that's defeated, not one that's depressed, or just chugging along. God wants us to have a very full and fulfilling life. And so the whole purpose of being filled with God's Spirit is to give people the power to learn and to live. I think life's meant to be something of an adventure, one with purpose and power. For so many people today, it seems to me, are living by candlelight rather than being out in the midday sun, spiritually speaking. And it seems to me that from the reading of the scriptures, we're called to be more Christ-like. We're called to be more like Stephen in the New Testament, to be like Barnabas, to be continually being renewed in the fullness of the Spirit and not simply just being two-cylinder Christians. Now, we could try and put all of this into some formula, as some have tried to do in days gone by, but really, when we read about the early church in Acts, that's not talking about a special people in one sense. It's just describing normal Christian life. And in his book about the Holy Spirit, Billy Graham says that there are three important words that we need to consider. There must be understanding of the Holy Spirit, there must be submission to the Holy Spirit, and there must be walking by faith in or with the Holy Spirit. I want to take those three points because I think it sort of gives us a bit of a framework. So let's think about these things for a moment. Firstly, understanding, to have understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Because if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life, we need to know what that's all about. And it means to be helpful to know certain things, to appreciate with some understanding what we're talking about. For example, it means that we know God is the one who has given the Holy Spirit to us. It's not a person separate from God, it is God. It's not some figment of our imagination. Nobody could dream this up. They couldn't. I've already suggested that in the Gospels, Jesus said he would leave the Holy Spirit for us once he was gone and was going back to the Father again. So that's the first thing to remember, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God. It is God. And the second thing is this, that our text says, be filled with the Spirit. Now that's not a suggestion from someone who thinks it might be pleasant for folk to have a top-up, an extra boost sometimes if we feel that we need it. It's a commandment. It's a non-negotiable commandment. Be filled. Far too many of us try and live in our own strength and wonder why we are living defeated lives. And then thirdly, we need to, in terms of understanding, we need to deal with sin in our lives, if they're less than full. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature, or one's desires, as described here, is what's contrary to the Spirit. And the sinful nature and the Spirit are diametrically opposed. The more sin in our lives, the less of the Spirit. Vice versa. And the more of the Holy Spirit means that there is less sin. Well, that's the first thing, though. There's other aspects about understanding we can talk about. But secondly, submission to. And the key is submission to God. It means that we come to God and we deal with any known sin in our lives. 1 John 1:9, we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. It's not popular today to talk about sin. We don't like it, but it's in the Bible, so we're going to address it. A couple of verses earlier in 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But a couple of verses earlier it says, we read that the blood of Christ cleanses us from part of our sin? No, all of our sin. Let me just remind you again that he's talking to Christians here. He never tells a sinner to confess their sins. A Christian, on the other hand, knows that there are obviously and quite often major blockages in their lives. And I can confess to that, eh? When Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, Christian, who was going on his journey to the Celestial City, had to return on one occasion to the crossroads where he had slept. And he had to pick up a scroll. And only when he picked up and went back and picked that up could he go on the way rejoicing. But he had to deal with a lack in his life. He had to deal with a need and with a situation. So if sin is a blockage to our Christian walk, we need to come back to that point where we confess that sin before we can go on. Anything that is wrong in the life of a Christian must be confessed. It's the same, I guess, in any relationship. God will never honour anyone who knowingly hangs on to sin. The Holy Spirit will not occupy a dirty heart. I want to suggest there are three kinds of confession. We're not very good at confession. We're not Catholics, we don't go to confession, but we can confess to God, and that's the first kind, private confession. Those sins that are committed against God alone. And they only need to be confessed before God, or to God. And that's probably a bit of a relief to some of us, because we probably all got sins between us and God that we don't particularly like sharing with other people, because we're embarrassed. But we can go straight to God and know that our sins are dealt with. Then there are sins, secondly, committed against somebody else. And if we have sinned against somebody else, or felt that we have, we need to get that dealt with and straight to that person. Finally, there sometimes is the need for public confession. If that sin has been committed against the entire church, it must be confessed to the church as a whole. So maybe we all, including myself, need to be asking God to show us very clearly if there is a blockage of power in our lives. And why is it that we're dissatisfied? Why is it that we're leading a dissatisfied and defeated lives? So where do we stand before God? Have we come clean? Do we believe that God has indeed forgiven us? We're just going to pause for a moment, and just for a moment of quiet, and just search out your own hearts. I'm not asking for any more than that. Just ask God if there is a blockage in our heart that we need to go to Him about, or other people, or the entire church. Have we come clean? Let's just pause for a moment before I go on. Father, it's so easy to gloss over these things. And yet, Lord, we know that if you're going to do a work in our hearts, if we're going to go forward as a church, we need to go forward in the strength and the power of your Spirit. Lord, may we just ponder our own hearts and my own heart at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. More than just confessing sin, we've got to turn right away from them. Confession's a bit pointless if we keep going back to the trough again and again, feeding our sin. Psalm 68 verse 18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But maybe we think our sin is no big deal. Maybe we don't even want to let it go. If that's the case, then we have raised the question of how serious we are with our intentions to follow God and His ways, to be doing His will. Frankly, many are not willing, and I know that. Even if you are willing, there is no determination to deal with some of the issues, the stresses, the temptations. Simply too much, so we push them to one side, a bit like giving up smoking, I guess. One can be willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's turn all of this onto a positive aspect plane, if you like. We don't replace what was once there and surrender our lives to God, then we're no better off. So Submission, it seems to me, is the same as surrender. Romans 6:13 says, yield or offer yourself to God. In other words, we're called to surrender our wills to God's purpose. And again, the reason why so many have so much trouble in their Christian life is that their wills take precedence over God's will. We have this continual struggle in our lives, and we say, Lord, I really don't want to move into your camp because I'm very happy with what I'm living at now. Romans 12:1 talks of surrender in these terms. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. And when you do that, it's living a new life in the Holy Spirit, moving forward in the power of the Spirit. I know it's not easy. I know that there are easy ways to temptation to revert to the old way of life. Been there, done that over 50 years. It's not a once in a lifetime event. It's a process. In reality, it's a process that must start every morning afresh. You've got to love Jesus anew every morning. And maybe marriage is a good example of that. We make a commitment on our wedding day. Bob and Murray did. And it's something that's continual. So that it flourishes. Talking with a young person in East Tyre just a few months ago, and I said, oh, we're coming up 48 years of marriage. And I said, 48 years? You've stuck together for that length of time? 48 years? Wow. Well, it's been no hardship, really. It's because we work at it, folks. And it's never an option to give up. When the going gets tough, as it does from time to time, when there perhaps is a bit more of a need for some extra effort required, none of us are exempt from those things. We keep on keeping on. We keep on asking God to fill us with His Spirit. Understanding, submission, and then finally walking by faith. If you've confessed, renounced, surrendered, then the final step is to believe and to walk by faith. God gives us that extra strength. He gives us that supernatural faith. And He's actually more anxious to be part of your life than you are to be filled, in one sense. If you're ready to have Him fill your life, He's more than ready to oblige. He wants to. But are we too tied up sometimes? I speak to myself here. Like too tied up with the things of this world. Because it's so easy in this land of ours. And then when we ask God to fill us, there may not be any great emotional experience. God never said that there would be an emotional high. There might well be. And praise God for that. Those who've had a bundle of sin to confess might feel overwhelmed. Others might not notice any. Great high. That's not the criteria. We just accept Christ. If we allow His Spirit to come into our lives, He will come. But not without an invitation. Therefore, we don't brag about it. Let others see the difference in our lives. Now, that does not mean that we're perfect. None of us is perfect. That might come as a surprise to some. We must continue to surrender, and we must continue to walk by faith daily. And that may well mean that we surrender those little areas in our lives that we know are niggling away. The Bible describes the devil going around like a roaring lion. Now, I'm not so sure that it's a roaring lion always, but just like a little puppy dog nipping away at the ankles, just trying to keep you off balance. It doesn't take much for most of us to be flicked away from the things of Jesus. We are called to know more of God. We are called to walk in His Spirit. We are called to be using the gifts that He's given to us. I sent out a wee email a couple couple of weeks ago asking for people to let us know what their gifts are. I've had 1 in 5 of our parishioners who replied to that. Can I invite you in closing this morning to do 3 things? Firstly, just to confess those things that you know and I know as sin. Secondly, to renounce or to turn from such sin. And then thirdly, to surrender or invite the Spirit to come that we might start a fresh journey of faith. In other words, take on board the command in our text to be filled. Put aside our sinful natures. And Lord, we pray that perhaps over these next days we might just consider our own standing before you, that we realize how insignificant we are, and yet you love us and have reached out to us and called us to walk in your ways. Lord, we know sometimes that it's not easy to put aside the things of the world because we've got to live in the world. But Lord, we're called to live as kingdom people who are filled with your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. This was written by a lady who wanted to go out onto the mission field and was wanting to have plenty of support and encouragement as she went out onto the mission field. But unfortunately, the money wasn't forthcoming or the doors didn't open for her. So she had to learn this experience. Lord, have your own way. Have your own way. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yield a bit. And still it was a lesson that she had to learn. After we have sung this, we will sing